Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 127. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he who gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. Psalm 127 it's been so long since we're in Psalm, so I have to step back a little bit. But it's a song of ascents, and this is where they would be basically going up to Jerusalem to one of the feasts. And so these were the songs that they would sing. This particular one is attributed to Solomon, and so we'll just take it as is. That there is some discussion that this could actually be David's psalm, but you know we'll just keep it at Solomon for this point. And so he starts off, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. The house is probably most likely meaning family, because obviously the context of this psalm, it actually deals with family. And so it's the idea of a person that's raising children, that's dealing with spouse and these things. So I think we can kind of understand this in the context of family more than anything else. Interesting enough, the word house in Hebrew is bana. Actually, the root, the word son and daughter are very similar. And so they think that it's probably the root of derivative is actually from the word house. And so thus, the idea of family, right? Did I say family? The word house, bana, is the same root word that's used for son and daughter. And so that's kind of the idea here. And which, which makes sense, because we know that when we raise kids, it is like building a house. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money, right? It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of direction. You shouldn't just go about doing your business nilly-willy. You should have a plan in the way that we raise our children. And so similar in this way. And so it's really about, the beginning of this psalm is really about trust, about really trusting God to raise our families, really trusting God to take care of our kids, really trusting our God even in the place of our labor. And so unless the Lord builds the house, builds the family, then we labor in vain. And then the next part, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. And so it's important. This past a couple weeks ago, we were in Beijing, and so I got to travel there with RT, and we went up to the Great Wall, and it was kind of a cloudy day, so we couldn't see much. But I've been it before, and if you've ever been there, it's incredible. I mean, it took over two dynasties to actually complete this wall. It's amazing. So many, so much money, so many lives. But when you see something there, it's very interesting that the Great Wall actually was never used. I don't know if you know anything about the history. The Manchurians or something, they basically broke through the wall. They didn't actually break through the wall. All they did is they bribed the wall keepers, the watchmen. Can you imagine? Two dynasties, millions of lives, countless hours of labor, and pretty much useless. right, all this thing. Now it's just a UNESCO heritage site, basically. It never fulfilled its purpose because all they had to do was just give the guys that guarded the wall some money, and all of a sudden, a breach, and they were able to attack. And so in that way, you can imagine, when I read this, I just think about that wall in this place, that unless the Lord guards this city, it's having this deep trust in God, then it is in vain any of these things happen. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now, some people may think that, oh, maybe he's talking that we shouldn't be working hard or anything like that. No, because that's not what he's saying here. Because in the beginning of the psalm, he talks about labor as being a positive thing. And so now we know that, again, to rise up early, to retire late, or to delay sitting down, even the fruit of your painful labors, all these things, it's in vain if the trust is not in God. In other words, if you think, and this is a good way to understand this, if you think that your job, your livelihood, all these things is your doing, and you omit God from the equation, then it's all in vain. It doesn't work in that way. And so how important it is, I mean, the basic line, how important it is for us to make sure that God is a huge part of our family, that God is a huge part of our work and our labor. And I love the last line in verse 2, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. So you can see the contrast of like labor, working hard, painful labor, he even uses these terms. And yet, if when we put our trust in God and our focus is not on ourselves or our ability or what we can do or any of these things, and it's just really upon the Lord, then he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now, again, it says a Psalm of Solomon. Scholars believe that it is Solomon because he throws in this word, his beloved, in here. And that was actually one of Solomon's names. His name was Jedidiah, which means loved of God or beloved of God. And so there's this idea. And then he gets to the meat of this psalm. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Children are not a right. We don't have a right to children. Children are gifts of the Lord. And I know this is sometimes hard to deal with, especially, you know, when you're trying to have children and those things. I don't want to sound mean or anything like that. But the reality, biblically, children are a gift. I mean, they're God's grace to us. We don't have a right to children in this way. And so I think we need to temper our hearts a bit. And it says the fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a tremendous blessing that we can have kids, and especially if we could have multiple kids. Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, we have four kids in our family. We are so blessed. Just the different personalities and different temperaments, and I mean, there's so many different aspects of each child, which is amazing, right? I mean, I'm not saying all my other kids are not kind, right? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But like, if Andrew had not come into our world, right, we would have never seen this kindness, right? That is, you know, must be present in me, and you know, definitely present in my wife, you know, and stuff. And so, but I mean, there's so many, so much blessing in that way. And so, the fruit of the womb is a reward. And I love verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And the arrow is actually like the perfect metaphor for children. And so because the I mean, there's a lot of different aspects, but one, an arrow needs to be very carefully crafted. Like you got to spend a lot of time. This is before modern machinery, okay? But like you go out into the woods, you find, that branch, and you got to whittle that thing down so the arrow is straight, right? And then the quill, the feathers at the end, they just got to be in perfect alignment. It takes a lot of care with children in the same way it does an arrow and stuff. And it has to be sturdy, right? I mean, there's so many aspects. And then we shoot them out, and it can do one of two things. It could bring blessing, you're protecting your home, or it could bring damage. And so we know our children raised improperly, raised in a wrong way, can bring a lot of damage. I mean, you see statistics of kids that come from broken homes, and you run through all this list of teenage pregnancy, of ones who ends up going to jail and rape and all these different things, and we see that the seed of all that is this broken home. In other words, they weren't raised well because they were absent. The parent was, one parent or both parents were absent in their lives. And so they're carefully crafted. And we get to shoot them out. It takes great skill to shoot them out into the world. You know, we just had our staff retreat, and one of the activities at the hotel we're at was archery. And so a bunch of us went one day, and I could tell you who's really good at archery. I could tell you who's really bad at archery, right? Sitting in the back row over there, in the blue shirt, not in the black shirt. But in any case, it's Kenny. He's really bad. Right, it's shocking how bad he is, especially when he's sitting next to his wife, who's actually shockingly good, right? And we can't just say it's because Korean women are good at archery, right? It's just, there's a certain skill. You got to hold it very steady, right? You got to be really strong, and I love this picture of shooting the arrow really out into the world. And as parents, we get the privilege of doing that. We I don't want to say craft, because it sounds like we're creating machines or something. But there's great care given in raising our children. There's great prayer going into it, great trust in God that, we're doing our part, and then we get to shoot them out into the world. Remember I said I could be a blessing or destruction? To create great blessing for humankind, human flourishing, but also to bring great destruction to the devil. And we get to do that, just shoot them out. And I remember before I had kids, and I would just imagine just shooting, the kids out into different spheres of influence, into art and entertainment, into politics, right, into commerce, into, religion. Into education, or the potential that our kids have to make a huge impact in the world around us. Right? I mean, when you think about it, isn't it such a privilege of God as parents, right, that we get to craft them and form them and make sure that it's straight? There's so much design going into this. And that's the way we look at our kids, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I think every parent is a warrior, right? I think every mom, right, that's given birth and breastfed their kids, I mean, surely, okay, yeah, maybe the husbands, okay, we can say whatever, but surely the wives, they have to be, these mothers have to be warriors. And so the way they care for their children, right, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And we get to be such a huge blessing in their lives and care for them. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. A quiver is basically where you keep, it's a group of arrows, right, where you keep your arrows. And it's a small pouch, man, but, right, a lot of arrows can fit in there. And I used to say, back in the days, and I still kind of mean it, in a kind of joking way, but I still kind of mean it. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply, right? And so, having one child, that's not multiplication, right? Having two kids is not multiplication, right? You have to have at least three, and four is ideal, because that's directly multiplication, right? I'm not just saying that because I have four kids, okay? But I'm just, but then I was talking to somebody, and you know, listen, don't feel bad if you have one or two kids. That's not my point, because I'm gonna, you know, someone humbled me, and so I was talking to these people, and then she was saying, well, you know, in the Old Testament, a quiver meant eight, and so here I thought I was like I was complete, you know, I multiplied and stuff. But if we're gonna really be literal, you know, biblically, then it's actually eight kids. And so I'm just halfway there in that way. Don't worry, we're done, right? We're very much done. But, you know, I was thinking with this whole fostering thing, you know, we could foster four kids. I think that will count in heaven. I don't know, but not that it's a race or anything. But blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. The gate was the place of discourse. It was kind of like city hall. It's where they took care of disputes. And so the idea is, you know, you come and you bring your sons with you. It's a very formidable kind of scene in this way. And he says, and when you do that, man, you won't be ashamed. There's something about that. And so having kids, having a lot of kids, it's a blessing, right? An absolute blessing, an absolute privilege that we get to do this. And God wants to build the house. He wants to build a home. He wants to build a family. It's putting our deep, deep trust in God instead of so many other things. I very rarely have seen a kind of children paranoia that I see here in Hong Kong. I remember when we were having kids, and I mean, it's crazy. I literally had this happen. You know, our kids were all born at Queen Mary Hospital, right? $300, man. It's the best deal in the world. And top, top care. And I had a church member, basically, because, you know, we didn't have the baby at Matilda Hospital, you know, asked me if I love my kids. And I was like, what? Right? Because we don't get room service? I mean, is that what it's about? But people have these very twisted ideas of children. And then, you know, in Hong Kong, the next thing you know, it's like, oh, they got to make sure they get into this playgroup. Right, this has to happen, and then so make sure you get to the right kindergarten, and then you got to go to the right elementary school, you know, and then so on and so on and so forth. There's so much pressure on these kids, right? That's a life. That's raising children in your own strength. That's raising children, right, outside of God, and I mean, we've had to tell so many parents, like, just chill out, man, relax. Right, I mean, so stressed out about the interview for the playgroup. And, I mean, that's not the end of the world. But it's clearly a depiction of someone who's raising their kids outside of God in many ways. Right? I know that sounds like such a big statement. But it's just all relying on the right path, the right school, the right friends, you know, the right this, the right that. Man, where's God in this picture? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Well, let's close our eyes. What a great reminder to us, especially many of us here that are parents, to trust God in the raising of our children. And if you're not a parent and you want to be a parent, it's a great reminder for you too that when you do have kids, if so it happens, it's not a right, it's a blessing, that there would be great trust in the Lord. You know, even parents that stop coming to church because they started having kids. What an absolute travesty. I mean, really, what a travesty. Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let's trust God with our children. Let's not go the way of the world, the way of Hong Kong life. Maybe the only place more difficult than Hong Kong is maybe Korea, with all the tutorial centers and Right, so much pressure on these kids. On this morning, let's present our children to the Lord. Let's trust Him to care for them. Let's trust Him to give us the wisdom to raise our children. As Mon leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to just, if you have kids, just one by one, just name them and just give them to the Lord. If you don't have kids, right, just do it as a prophetic act. And trust the Lord with our offspring.
Show me who you are and fill me with your heart.
let's continue to just give our kids to the Lord. Let's put our trust in God, in our families, also in our work. We don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to raise our kids on our own strength. Let's pray. Make our way up to the front, sit in a circle.